I guess I trained him well. Anyway. But we come to this day where we celebrate love, and you know, there's flowers, there's cards, there's candy, there's jewelry. Some have accused Hallmark of making this holiday up and for commercial gain. That may or may not be true. But can I tell you, we ought to celebrate the love that God has given to us each and every day. If you wait till February 14th to express your love to your wife or to your husband or to your children, you know, when I was growing up, I went to public school. Everybody gave everybody a Valentine. I mean, just everybody gave everybody. They had their little bags, and you put them in there. Everybody gave. And that one day, you might have hated the person, but you gave them a Valentine. Folks, let's not wait till February 14th to express our love and our care and our appreciation one for another. You know, in fact, I'm going to tell you, it is better and more well-received to express your love and appreciation on any other day but February 14th. Now, do it on February 14th, okay? But any other time is even better, because hopefully it's not demanded or expected. But I believe that verse 3 here is a key. You would not think of this verse being as a Valentine's Day message, but I believe that we have a key to love right here in verse 3. Love of all relationships, whether it be between husband and wife, whether it be between parents and children, whether it be among church members, whether it be among business, whether it be among family. Look at it with me, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, you notice that Paul doesn't take responsibility or take credit for this. He says, God's grace has given this to me. God has revealed this to me. He says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That word soberly has the idea of thinking into it. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He mentions the word thinking 4 different times in that one text. That goes right around along with verse 2 that says, don't be conformed to the thinking of the world, but be transformed. Paul gives us an illustration of here of what it is to have transformational thinking. Thinking that is not of the world. He gives us 2 things here. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. The world's thinking is based upon having a high self-esteem of yourself. The world's thinking is to think highly of yourself. God's thinking, the Word of God's thinking, the transformational thinking is, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Do you think that would transform marriages? Do you think that would transform relationships between children and their parents? It's amazing to me how smart teenagers think they are. I mean, you've got parents who were teenagers, who have, in some cases, raised teenagers, who have experienced all the things of the world, but the teenagers think they know more than the parents do. That's amazing to me. It amazed me that even as I raised the girls, that that for 13, 14, 15, 16 years I raised them, and then all of a sudden a young man comes along, and the young man knows more than dad does. How does that work? But all of you know what I'm talking about, and all of you have probably experienced it as well. And so, folks, the transformational thinking is not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Now, having said that, I put all the pressure perhaps on the teenager, perhaps it's on the parent as well, not to think more highly than they ought, that they don't know everything about everything. Maybe they need to listen to what the teenager has to say. Maybe they have to listen to some more input so they get all the information of what's going on. Can I confess to you that I made mistakes? I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything. And God's Word says transformational thinking is not to think more highly about yourself. The world's emphasis is to have a high self-esteem. Right thinking is crucial to being transformational. And he gives us two ways to think. First of all, don't think more of yourself than you ought, because of your family, because of your connections, because of your education. Don't think more highly of yourself because you've had 16 years of education and they only had 8 years of education. You know, I remember early in the campaign, there were people that were criticizing certain candidates because they hadn't graduated from college. Well, let me tell you something. We've had a lot of people that have graduated from college that are politicians. I'm not sure that that has helped us any. So don't think more highly of yourself because of your education. You know, there are people in this church that don't have higher education. I don't know, and I'm not looking to find out if somebody hasn't graduated from high school, or somebody hasn't graduated from college, or somebody don't have a doctorate. Can I tell you this morning that God, and we're going to see this as time goes on, God has put us in a body. And granted, there's some smarter people than others. There are some that have better understanding how motors work, or how buildings are built, or how to raise children, or how to cook food, or how to share the talents that God has given to you. And we're going to see that in the future. But can I tell you this morning, no matter how smart you might be, no matter how well you are, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Folks, it is a very easy thing to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Has God gifted you? We're going to find out in just a minute. Yes, God has gifted you. But the gift isn't given that you might lord it over somebody. The gift is given that you might serve somebody. Parents, can I tell you that you are not here to lord over your children? You're here to serve your children. Children, can I say that you're not there for your parents to serve? You say, but Pastor, didn't you just say the opposite? You see, we're all put here, we're all gifted here to serve one another. And the more we serve one another, the less we're going to think about more highly of ourselves than we ought. But it's not just education. Well, I come from the Blizzard family. I come from the Couch family. I come from the Juan family. I come from the Jarvis family. My dad is, and fill in the blank. Don't think more highly of yourself because of your family. Well, you know, I know a bunch of famous people. I'm not sure I do, but maybe you do. Don't think more highly of yourself because you have wonderful connections. Don't think, well, I'm a deacon, or I'm an elder, or I'm a pastor, or I'm an alderman, or I'm a mayor, or I'm a governor, or I'm a president. Lastly, don't think more of yourself because of your performance. Look at what I have done. Whether it be singing or playing, or whether it be Sunday school teaching, or whether it be cleaning the church, or whether it be... Don't think more highly of yourself because of your performance. It will destroy relationships of any kind. But if you go on in the text, it says, but think soberly, or think wisely, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not only are we not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, we're not to think more lowly of ourselves than we ought. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I'm just not very pretty? You ever heard a girl say, I'm just not very pretty? Now, what is the response they are looking for? Oh, that's not true. You're really pretty. You want to find out whether they're really telling the truth of what they believe? Just say, man, you know what? You are right. That's called false humility. Oh, I just really don't know how to preach very well. And all God's people said, oh, brother. But you get the point that I'm making? It is not humility when we say such things. It's fishing for a compliment. It's fishing for... And the reality is that if you truly are bad at something, you will not be offended when somebody says, well, you know, you're right. You probably ought to get some help in those areas. And so it comes back to pride. It comes back to thinking higher of ourselves than we ought. A good test for ourselves is, what would your reaction be if somebody agreed with you rather than that you did you know the Bible says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked? We deceive ourselves. And out of humility we say, you know, I don't do very good. Well, just ask yourself, if somebody agreed with that assessment, what would you think of? It's a good test. There are some that do have too low of an opinion of themselves. And the scriptures here says to think wisely, to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I tell you this morning, there are three things that help in this sober thinking, in this right thinking. First of all, understand and know that you are made in the image of God. This goes back to what we said, that the world's thinking is that you're nothing more than a piece of protoplasm. You are made in the image of God. Every one of you. Did you know that even the most wicked unbeliever is made in the image of God? And if that is true, how much more is it true that those that are the children of God are made in the image of God? But not only are we made in the image of God, for those of us that are born again, Romans chapter 8 tells us that if we are believers, we have the Spirit of God. And if you do not have the Spirit of God, you do not belong to Him. Folks, can I tell you this morning that if you are a child of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? Is that not the most amazing thing? Is that not the most motivating thing? That the Spirit of God, that God Himself, that you are the tabernacle, that you are the temple of the living God, that God Himself dwells within you. That ought to be a motivation for all kinds of things. But not only are you made in the image of God, not only are you indwelt by the Spirit of God, but God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. In our world today, housewives are denigrated. Well, what do you do? Or what does your wife do? Men, can I just tell you, don't ever say, my wife doesn't do anything. My wife doesn't work. That's a good way to get in a lot of trouble. I found that out a long time ago. Folks, the world denigrates motherhood. The world denigrates being a wife. Girls that aren't married, can I tell you this morning that the highest calling that God can give you is that of being a wife and a mother. And if God has not called you to be a wife or a mother, can I tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your wife? Don't feel like you're some kind of second-class citizen. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. Whether you're a woman or whether you're a man, God has a purpose and a plan for you. And so, if we're going to think transformationally, if we're going to think the way that God thinks, if we're going to think the way God's Word tells us to think, we are going to recognize that we are made in the image of God, that we are Spirit indwelt, that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that we have purpose that is designed by God. But it goes beyond this. It says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. He will be describing this measure of faith, basically, after we get through verses 4 and 5. In verses 6 through the end of the chapter, he's going to tell us the measure of faith that he is given to us. God has given to every man a measure of faith. He has given to every man gifts. And he calls us to make a proper assessment of what God has given to you, and he says, use it. And we're going to look at that in the future. But can I tell you this morning that God has a purpose and a plan for you? God has gifted you in a certain way, and he has said to use it. Now, it may be that you may not know what your giftedness is. But I can tell you, as you study and read the Word of God, as you serve God's people, you're going to find out what God has gifted you for. There's this cute little story, and I hope I can do it justice this morning. But there was a duck, and the duck found out that he wasn't very fast. The duck found out that he couldn't run very fast. And so he could swim well, he could motor through the water very well, but he thought, let me work on my weak points. And so he was on the land, and he ran and he ran and he ran, and as he ran, he found that his webbed feet started to deteriorate because he was trying to work harder on his weak points. And so when he got into the water, he no longer could swim very well because he had worn away the webbing on his feet. God has gifted us. He has given us a measure of faith, and he has told us to use that. Now, folks, I think it's incumbent upon us to work on our weak points. That is true. But God has gifted us, and he has told us to use our gifts. Now, not all of us, let me give you an example. They say that the number one fear of people is public speaking. You know what my number one fear is? It's not public speaking. My number one fear is talking one-on-one to people. Now, some of you, you say, don't put me up in front of people. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. But let me talk one-on-one with somebody. Now, should I work on working with one-on-one with people? Of course, certainly. And if you have a fear of public speaking, should you work on public speaking? Yes. But let's not do that to the exclusion and to the detriment of the gift that God has given to us. And may we use that measure of faith that God has given to us that will be described in future messages and future study of the Word of God for the glory of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2. I believe that Paul, in the letter to the Philippians, gives us basically what verse 3 tells us. Remember, he's talking about the mind. He's talking about thinking. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says this: let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is transformational thinking. This is the thinking that the Word of God promotes. Let this mind be in you. Not the thinking of the world. Not the thinking that you are somebody, but that you are a servant of the Most High God to those that God has given to you to think and to serve. This is not the world's thinking. This is not even human reasoning. This is a mind that is transformed by the Word of God. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but properly assess what God has given you and use it for His glory. I ask you this morning, what station in life are you at? Perhaps you're married. Perhaps you're single. Perhaps you're a child under authority. Perhaps you're a widow or a widower. Can I exhort you, under the authority of God's Word, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think too lowly of yourself. Humbly realize that God has made you for a purpose. God has gifted you to serve Him. And usually that is manifested in serving others in the context where God has placed you. There's some people that have the high goal to be a missionary. That's good. To be a missionary in Africa or Asia or in South America. Can I tell you this morning, if you're not going to be a missionary right where you are, you're not going to be a missionary elsewhere. Can I tell you this morning that if you want to be display the gifts that God has given to you, do it right where you are. Don't aspire to elsewhere. Let God exalt you. I've told this illustration before, but it's an illustration of thinking more highly than you ought, of promoting yourself. I went to my brother's wedding, and I knew I was in the wedding because I had one of those tuxedos. And I'm the oldest of five boys. My brother was getting married, and so we were planning, and so I get up there, and I stand right here in the best man position. And he turned around and said, "John's my best man." Okay. Let God exalt you in His time and in His place as you serve in the place that God has planted you right where you are. Humbly realize that God has made you for a purpose, that God has gifted you to serve Him in your family, in your church, in your school, in your work. Think wisely about yourself. This morning, I gave the things. Philip, do you have those? Okay. As we conclude our time together, and you can start out by handing me one, I have a challenge for you this morning. Some of you have seen this before. And the purpose that I give this to you is that you would not think more highly than yourself, more lowly of yourself, but rather that you would serve in love those. And I have 10 challenges for you. Number one, that you would pray for one family. And I would encourage you to start with the family of the week that is in the bulletin. So that is Seth and Sarah this week. That you would speak to one person, and you might say, "That's easy, I've done that today already." Speak to one person that you usually would not speak to. Speak to a person that you do not know. I had to humble myself this morning. I asked a young man what his name was. He told me what his name was. I asked another young man what his name was. And then I said right back, I said, "You're so-and-so." And he said, "No, I'm so-and-so." And so I've asked several of you to come to me and say, anytime you see me, you say, "Hi, Pastor Jim, I am so-and-so." Okay? I've just confessed how bad I am at remembering names. All right? You can confess it too. Go and talk to somebody whose name you don't remember. And show your love. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Say, "You know, I'm sorry, and hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks I'm going to remember your name." Does everybody know my name? I'm Pastor Jim. Hello. Yeah. The other day we were going home. We get together, some of us, on Tuesday mornings and have coffee and talk. And Steve Sudlow goes with me, and some of you know that Steve has struggles even greater than I do with remembering name. And Doug Puffer usually goes with us. And he said, "What's his name?" We've been doing this for 2 years. And he said, "What's his name?" And I said, Doug, and he said, well, it ought to be Frank. So I'm not sure why, but he thought it ought to be Frank. But don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to do. So speak to one person. Encourage one person. What's it take to encourage a person? What does it take to encourage a person? You know, sometimes all you got to say is, Pastor, it is so good to see you. I can be encouraged by that, you know. Or bringing and putting an arm around somebody and saying, I'm praying for you. You know, one of the greatest things that as a husband or a wife you can do is just go to them and put your arms around and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. Is there something specific that I can pray for you? Encourage one person. And I would encourage you more than just your husband or wife. That's just a given. Your children, that's a given. Encourage someone that you would not usually encourage. Carry one burden. Carry one burden. The Bible says to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It might be a brother or sister carrying the burden for another brother or sister. It may be a young person encouraging another young person. It may be, can I just tell you? Now, older folks are anybody that's older than me. I defined what younger folks were. That's anybody younger than me. Older folks are anybody older than me, okay? So nobody has to be offended, all right? Older folks, can I tell you this morning that you can be a huge encouragement to a three-year-old? How many of you like when a three-year-old comes to you and shakes your hand? Anybody like that? Okay, I figured. I've heard that. Why wait for the three-year-old to come encourage you? Why don't you go and encourage the three-year-old? Can I tell you something else? It brings joy to my heart when I see a teenager go and hug an older person. But it brings joy to my heart when I see an older person go to a teenager and say, I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm praying for you. Encourage one another. Visit one person. There's many ways you can do that. You can do it by a phone call. You can do it by an email. You can go by dropping by, giving one gift. You know, it's not the amount of the gift, it's the thought. It really is. It's the thought that counts. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Think wisely and give a gift. You know, number seven I sort of struggle with. This isn't my list. I've borrowed it from somebody. Forgive one person. Can I just tell you? You can make an effort to forgive one person, but the Bible tells us that we're to forgive all. Why? Because Christ has forgiven us. I don't know about you, but I offend my wife every once in a while. My wife offends me every once in a while. But can I tell you the joy when I go and I say, sweetie, I sinned against you. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so many times we don't have to go, it's just covered, and I thank God for it. But sometimes we need to do that. Can I encourage you, if there's someone that has offended you or somebody you've offended, that you go and make it right? Welcome one person. You know, I want to encourage you, and I don't want to offend you folks. I don't remember your name. And so when you go out, you say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm Pastor Jim, by the way. But there's some new folks here this morning. Welcome them. They told me that they're looking around, and I don't mean to embarrass you. I told them this morning, I said, I hope this is the last place you. They say, you're first. I say, well, I hope we're last. And, you know, folks, welcome one another. But I can tell you this morning, there's some people in this place that you don't know. I won't embarrass anybody and have them stand up and say, can you name their name? I won't do that. But can I tell you, don't think more highly of yourself. Go to them, humble yourself, and say, what's your name? I don't remember. Welcome
one person.
You know, this week, I'm grateful that there have been meals that have been shared. But did you know that you don't have to wait till there's an organized effort? That's good. That's wonderful. But you don't have to wait. You can just remember, oh, maybe Dick Morris, maybe we can take a meal up there. And I'll just leave it at that. Maybe there's other places. By the way, 5810 seafood. No, anyway. If you didn't get it, it's all right. It wasn't very good. Relegate one preference. You know, we all have preferences. We all have preferences. I'm not talking about. Things that are essential to the faith. When we first got married, I had very definite ideas. When I got married, I wanted a girl just like a girl that my dad had. I didn't get that, okay? In some senses, I got a better one. Don't tell him that, okay? My mother was very compliant. If Dad thought it, she was on board with it. My wife has very definite ideas. I have very definite ideas. I am my father's son. We found out early in our marriage that she is her mother's daughter and I am my father's son. And the older we get, the more we become like them. And I have very definite things how her hair ought to look, and she has very different ideas of how her hair should look. She has very definite ideas about colors and style, and I have very definite ideas, and they were very rarely the same. And I got to tell you that I wasn't very good at, as it says, relegating our preferences. So I'm not talking about principles. I'm not talking about things of the Word of God. But folks, it doesn't matter whether you wear a red dress today or a pink dress. It doesn't matter whether you wear a tie like this or a striped tie. Relegate your preferences. As I conclude this morning, don't think more highly than you ought. Basically, what we are saying is love one another. May you do so, and we will fulfill the law of Christ. But we will be transformational in our thinking. We will be transformed by the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, I ask you that you would help us. I would ask you that you would help us to conform to the image of Christ, that we would conform to the image of God's Word. And that, Father, as we do so, we might not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, that we would not think more lowly of ourselves than we ought. But, Father, that our estimation of ourselves would be the estimation that God gives. And we'll give you the thanks and praise, for it's in Christ's name we pray.